The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached and grasped her hand and helped her up, and then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill and possessed by demons, and the whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed by himself. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." But he told them, "Let us go to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." And so they went into the synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pause for a moment and look at this interesting gospel reading, which comes from Mark, from the first chapter of Mark. The curing of the mother-in-law raises all sorts of discussion. It's also recorded, by the way, in chapter 8 in the Gospel of Matthew. So clearly it was a matter of some importance in the early churches of Mark and Matthew. Certainly Matthew took it from Mark, because Mark was the earliest gospel. It happens at Capernaum, call it sometimes Capernaum, and pilgrims who have been to the Holy Land may remember this. The house of Peter at Capernaum is very well excavated. It's very authentic. You can see the ruins of the house of Peter. What's of some interest here is that proximate to the house of Peter, there is today the ruins of a synagogue. Now, it's not the synagogue that was there in the time of Jesus, but nonetheless, it's on the same footprint. And the size of the synagogue gives us some insight into how large the community was at Capernaum. And it appears to be a significant community. It was a fishing village where fishermen right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Curing the mother-in-law and how she got up and waited on them. I have heard some commentary on that, especially by women today, saying, well, she was cured and then she waited on them. But that's not good hermeneutics or good exegesis. In the time of Jesus, it was a privilege to wait on guests. It wasn't an imposition. It was considered an exercise in privilege to show hospitality to guests. So when she waits on them, she is claiming a place of privilege in the culture of the time. It does raise some very interesting discussion, however. It's clear that Peter was married. This was his mother-in-law. So now this prompts all sorts of conversation about married disciples. How many of them are married? And you know, the first commandment for all Jews is increase and multiply. It comes from the book of Genesis. And therefore, it would have been certainly expected, even culturally mandated at the time, that men would be married and they would have children. So we know nothing about any children that the apostles might have had. We know nothing about their marriages, except Peter. And that's here just kind of almost by accident. He's curing the mother-in-law, so we know that he was married. How did they manage this? I mean, did they just leave the wife and leave the children and go off on a mission? Or did their wife travel with them? These are all matters that have much discussion when you're reading the exegesis on these passages. However, when you look at the Gospels, they are not historical documents. They're not meant to give us insight into the habits of these disciples or, you know, what the culture was like at the time. They are meant to reveal Jesus Christ. That's it. Everything else is on the periphery, meant to support the revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the intent of the Gospels. That's the inspired revelation of the Gospels, is to tell us about Jesus Christ, not about his disciples and whether they were married or they had children. These are matters that never came up for discussion. Divine revelation speaks about revealing Jesus Christ as the Messiah. It does prompt some discussion, however, about, in recent times, about married priests, since this discipline of celibacy came in somewhere in the 12th, 13th century somewhere. It was confirmed at the Council of Trent in 1545. So should we have married priests? It becomes a matter of discussion in today's church with the shortage of priests. And of course we should have married priests. There isn't any question about that. We have married deacons, and if we can have married deacons, they already have the sacrament of orders. We could have married priests. However, it's a bit controversial. And I think we should have celibate priests and we should have married priests. But this is a matter of discussion. And when we look at the scriptures here today and we look at this gospel reading, it's important that we do not get distracted by discussions about a married priest. It's not meant to be the teaching of this text. Notice that Jesus is curing. Mark is introducing Jesus here. He wants to show us the power of Jesus Christ. He can heal, drive out demons, overcome evil, and then he goes off to pray by himself. And his disciples follow him, and he goes to all the villages around Galilee, preaching and healing and driving out demons. Another interesting little subtlety in this gospel reading, that when he drives out demons, he tells the demon, don't tell anybody who he is. He doesn't want, because the demon knew who he was. They're the only ones that knew who Jesus was. The others were in the discovery, but they knew that he was the Messianic One, the Son of the Most High. But he forbade the demons to reveal who he was, the Messianic secret. And we've talked about this before. You'll find this caution. Jesus will caution his disciples after the transfiguration. Tell no one about this until the Son of Man has risen. You cannot preach Jesus Christ. You cannot understand Jesus Christ until you have seen the passion, death, and resurrection. Until that time, you do not understand the Messianic Jesus. He's not just a healer and one who drives out demons. The understanding of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, suffering, death, and resurrection. Until we experience that, maybe in our own lives, until we understand that as the fullness of God revealing in Jesus, we cannot preach the Messiah. And therefore you'll find over and over again after a miracle, Jesus says, don't tell anybody about this until the Son of Man is risen, because only then will you truly understand how God is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. So this gospel is ideal for Bible studies because it raises all sorts of interesting questions. So if you're in a Bible study, this text and chapter 8 in Matthew, which is its parallel, will be of special animated interest.